Just a couple of people aren't muted.
What?
Trying to mute.
No, everybody's muted. Yeah.
Oh, no, okay, just mute. Okay. Okay. This is Pashas Matos. I would have to apologize because the name of the topic is Lomito Venosi Isha. So when you have a yud, it means a mafikeh. So that's the difference between isha and isha. So I think everyone figured out what the words really mean. So tonight's topic is a potentially very, very loaded topic, la'alocha la'maisa, and it appears right in our sugya in Maseches Kedushin. It's the issue of two wonderful things, two things that we spend a lot of time focusing on. One is the mitzvah of limud haTorah, rightfully so, and the other is the mitzvah of getting married, also rightfully so. And as we're well aware, as we spoke about this Rambam already several times, the Rambam highlights for us in the beginning of the Talmud Torah, that as great as marriage and having children is, but it takes a tremendous toll on a person's time. And of course, it's going to potentially interfere with the person's ability to learn Torah. And the question becomes, what does Halacha say about this? When we have these two different, wonderful goals, very, very noble things we want to accomplish in this world, limud Torah and getting married and raising a family. So what should the sequence of things be? What should be the proper order of things in order to fulfill the mitzvah Torah properly? So the sugi begins in the first of the Ma'amar Kamos in Maseches Kedushin Chof Tesla Beis, Tan Rabbanan, Lumo Torah V'Lisa Isha, Yumo Torah V'Chach Yisa Isha. So the first statement of the Brayis is that you should learn first and worry about getting married later. The Imiyev Shal Lablo Isha, if it's impossible for him to not to be married, so Yisa Isha V'Chach Yumo Torah, so then what are you going to do? So then he has to get married first. But Amr Rav Yehuda Meshmuel, Halacha Nosa Isha V'Chach Yumo Torah. So Rav Yehuda says that the opposite of what it says in the Braisa, that a person should get married first and then learn Torah. Rabbi Yochanan says, what? The person has literally millstones around his neck. A nice way of saying he has a family to support. His wife, Mitzvah, is going to have children soon. So he has to support his boss, what is family. How in the world is he going to learn Torah properly? So clearly he can't do it in that way. So here we have a very, very strange sugya. The Braisa makes a statement, and I'm a rhyme of fighting about it. One of them is saying one, one saying other. Everybody's working with the assumption that there is some kind of a conflict here. So that's the yesod of our entire sugya, is that clearly you have to choose one over the other, at least for now. It doesn't mean in the end you're not going to get both, but clearly there is a question of preference right here and now. It is impossible to perform both of them properly. Why is it impossible to perform both of them simultaneously, at least at the starting point? So clearly what the Gemara here is referencing is something that we spoke about already many times, that there are different aspects of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So there's clearly one part of Talmud Torah that we spoke about. Just trying to get the feel bad that Adam doesn't. I'm getting a good view of my chin. Okay. I think we're a little better. Okay. So clearly, part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not just going through the motions of I read a pasuk here, I say a parasha here, I read halacha here, and call it a day. If that's all the mitzvah of Talmud Torah was, like the Gemara in one place said, if you look kara kriyash b'shachas v'yarbis, then what is so difficult about doing that when you're married? So get married, spend all day working and raising your family, and in the morning when you have to daven, learn one halacha, before you go to sleep, learn one halacha. And sure, you'd say. So the answer is opposite. That is not the case. So this is another of the many, many sugyas in Shas that point out that nobody can interpret that Gemara in the limited sense that it's all you have to do. All you have to do is perek echad, the line of echad, it can't be. It must be that that's how to fulfill the maisa mitzvah of Torah, but the mitzvah of Yediyas Torah requires so much more. The mitzvah of Yediyas Torah requires yom v'layla, means all the time, shenav v'vanecha, shenav v'chol v'ficha. So that commitment, that wholehearted, whole time commitment to Talmud Torah, that is in fact going to be very, very difficult when one is trying to juggle that and the mitzvah of Noseh Isha. The mitzvah of Nosei Isha also has to be understood properly to appreciate why such a conflict exists. So the mitzvah of Nosei Isha is really twofold. There is actually a machlekes in the Rishonim. What exactly is the mitzvah, so to speak, to get married? So the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, lists off the mitzvah of getting married as an independent mitzvah. The Rambam counts as two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to get married, and then there's a mitzvah to have children. So the let's say, for example, according to the Rambam, a person already has many children and he's getting married for the second time. He's in his 90s. He's not going to have any more children. So the Rambam says it doesn't matter. It's a mitzvah deraisa, ki kach yeshisha. The Rambam understood that pasuk. It's like a tzivoy, ki kach. You should get married. Every person should get married. So the Rosh says that that's not the case. The Rosh says that there is no independent mitzvah to get married. The mitzvah is to have children. Puruvu is the first of the tag mitzvahs. Getting married is a heksha mitzvah. Getting married is a preparation for the mitzvah of having children, but it's not a mitzvah in and of itself. That's where the Rosh's view is that the bracha that we recite under the chuppah of Asher Kiddushanu mitzvahis and tzivanu is not a birchas hamitzvah. It's actually a birchas shevach. It's a praise on the institution of marriage, not a mitzvah, or not a bracha on the mitzvah of marriage, because there is no mitzvah per se of getting married. You don't make a bracha when you build the sukkah, you don't make a bracha when you bake matzahs, you don't make a bracha when you get married, says the Rosh. The bracha that we recite under the chuppah is a different kind of a bracha. But bein lefi Rama, bein lefi Rosh, whether you hold that getting married is an independent mitzvah, everybody agrees having children is a mitzvah. And everyone agrees having children means you have to support your children, you have to spend time with your children. So obviously a person is going to get married on the eifloch ve'ezun ve'finest lech ilchus mu'un yudayim. It's written in the ksuba that the person commits himself to what the halacha requires of him to support his wife and his children. So how are you going to swing that if you have to be lomei Torah? So therein lies the conflict. So on the one hand, we have these grandiose bits of Talmud Torah, which is all day and all night, as much as you can. Then you have no seisha, molid banim, which is clearly going to take away your time. So the Amorim are fighting it out. What comes first? So comes the Gemara with the following psak. At the end of the first of the Ramakamos, it's the end of the second line. V'lo pligi, there's no machlekes, the Gemara says. Halan v'halahu, it depends who we're talking about. Here the psak is different for the Bnei Bavel and for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Why in the world should it be different? Since when does halacha change? It's not yet the Shein Shogolius. So why is there a difference between whether you live in Bavel or whether you live in Eretz Yisrael? So there is a machlekes every Shonim, what the difference is, what the nuance of the difference is. So Rashi on the spot, in the second of the Ma'amakamas, Rashi explains, halan halahu, b'nei Bavel hayu holchin v'gorsi mishnayis ha'tanoim be'Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi fills you in on the sociological reality when this statement was made. This is still the early days of the Amoraim. This is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. This is Rabbi Yochanan speaking. These are first, second generation Amoraim. Was still the main action of Torah was still in Eretz Yisrael. There was still a lot of action going on in Eretz Yisrael. It is going to change as the years went on. But at this period of time, so still the major, major part of the great yeshivas was still primarily in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Bnei Bavel would travel, would have to leave to go study Torah, either learn the Mishnayos, in Eretz Yisrael. Umitoch shalom dim chutzim komen, Rashi continues, since the Bnei Bavel would leave their homes, ain't tzorche bayis mutol ha'malov. So then they didn't have anything to do. They weren't busy. They didn't have any parnosa deals to deal with because they weren't there. So therefore, no se'isha, nahav b'lo hira, v'chachach cholich v'lo mitoira. Rashi has gaval geitza. Rashi says that if you happen to be a Ben Bavel, so get married in Bavel. And Rashi says, leave your wife behind. Go to Eretz Yisrael for a few months, go learn, and then you have the best of both worlds. So you're married, you fulfill the bits of being married, you don't have to worry about a Huri Aveira, and in addition, you'll be able to learn Torah. No one's going to bother you, no any commitment. That's how Rashi presents the Sugya. Masha Ein Kein, according to Rashi, for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, so the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, how are we going to tell them to get married? They tell them to get married, but they're staying in Eretz Yisrael, the wives in Eretz Yisrael, the families in Eretz Yisrael, so they're going to have to go to work, they have to support the family, they have to be involved with other things. They're not going to be able to learn. So for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, we tell them you might as well learn Torah first. That's a Rashi learns pshat in the sugya. Very, very difficult pshat. Tyson's going to raise all the questions you're going to ask. You're going to see Tyson's already involved with this guy.
And then just point of view that says you should learn and then get married. At what point have you learned enough?
Oh, okay. Well, that's the sugya's going to develop. So the rest of the sugya, according to Rashi, is as follows. That if you have an absolute clear-cut conflict between the two, between learning versus getting married, you should learn first. That's what the Gemara is. And therefore, if it's going to, by getting married, it's going to force you to have to give a Bavel Torah, it's better to learn first. Learn first, you worry about marriage in X amount of years, whatever that X is. The only reason why the Gemara is giving this kunz that the Bnei Bavel could get married first is because they're not going to have any, it's not going to be any time constraint on them because they're just going to leave and go to Eretz Yisrael to learn. That's what Rashi learns this again. So Tosfos has a lot of kashas in Rashi. Tosfos says, since when are you allowed to do that? Tosfos said, well, you're getting married, and then you're packing up and you're going to Eretz Yisrael and you're leaving your wife and kids behind for how long is this happening for? So Tosfos says, you can't do this. you're going to shun a bet and you left the wife behind. So that somehow that doesn't, this is not like today. I can run up to Eretz for a couple of days and come back for the weekends. This is not weekends. You go from bubble to Eretz Yisrael, you're there for months on end, years on end. So comes Rebbe Natam and says, that cannot be pshat in the Gemara. So what is pshat in the Gemara? So Rebbe Natam gives the opposite pshat in the Gemara. Take a look at the third of the Mamakamos. Tosus quotes, Halan Balhu, Al-Kenyu Rebbe Natam, Ipcha. Rebbe Yochanan Dioma, Rechaim Mitzavara, Liyasik Batorah, Levnei Bovel Diber, She'inu Yochol, Lanyach Ishto, Gilech Vimot Torah. Says Rebbe Natam, Rebbe Yochanan was talking to the people who lived in Bovel, and he said to them, you guys in Bovel, don't get married first because you're really going to get stuck because you're going to have to remain behind in Bavel because you're not allowed to leave your family, not like Rashi, you're not allowed to leave your wife and kids behind. So you're going to be stuck in Bavel. You're going to be working all day and all night and you're not going to know anything. So therefore, for you guys, so Rabbi Yochanan said, you're going to have a millstone around your neck and you're going to learn Torah. It's not going to happen. Learn Torah first. But Shehem Aniyim, and also the B'nai Bavel, at least at this period of time, things changed later, but in this period of time, the economy in Bubble was not so great. The people in Bubble were poorer. So the guy's mamash, no one's supporting him, so he's going to have to work. When Shmuel said, you should get married first, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael Amar, he was talking to Bnei Eretz Yisrael, they'll stay home with their wives, they'll go off to yeshiva all day, they'll stay into the night, they'll be able to learn, and they're well off. And therefore, you have nothing to lose by getting married first. Forget you have everything to gain. So Rabbi Natam just changed the sociology on us. Rashi and Tosis are arguing about what the facts are. The Bnei Bavel, the Bnei Tzos. Somebody's learning Torah first and somebody's getting married first. We're just not sure which direction it is. But we're not so interested in sociology right now. We're much more interested in the halacha. The bottom line is everybody agrees that push comes to shove. If it's a clash between learning Torah or getting married, you learn Torah first. Rashi and Tosis are fighting out who has that clash, who doesn't have that clash. But everyone agrees to the halachic principle that, of course, you learn Torah first and then you worry about getting married later.
I don't understand the clash because if you're forbidding half the people to be get married first, then it's not a clash. That's mitzvah. It's like, if Rashi says people both should work first, it's...
No, the Rashi and Tosafot is just saying that for some people, it's not a problem. Some people, actually, like, have shneihem. So the basic hierarchy in halacha is as follows. If you could do both, get married, and you don't have to worry about parnosah, that's great. So Rashi and Tosafot are fighting out which guys are not worrying about parnosah, the Bnei Bavel, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. But they agree with halacha. There's no machlekes on halacha between Rashi and Bnei Bavel.
If there's no clash, okay, learn. But when there's a clash, it's proof that you should get married.
No. If there's no problem, means I can get married and I'll be able to learn as much as I can before or after I get married. So first you get married, why shouldn't you do a mitzvah getting married?
So then getting married should be.
No, but then, the only time we're having a discussion, the only time there's a shayla is if I can't do both. If I can do both easily, getting married is not going to detract from my learning. So of course I should do both. But the question is, push comes to shove, Rabbi, I have a shayla. If I get married, I will not be able to learn for the next 5 years. What do I do? Do I learn for 5 years or do I get married? If I get married, do I learn? So that's, everyone agrees that if push comes to shove, it's going to be learning versus getting married. So you learn first and you get married later. So that's what everyone agrees to halacha. So the question is, what is this based on? Where did this come from? What is the source? What is the halachic principle behind this? Here we have a mitzvah to do. And I'm sitting here learning Torah. So what gives me the right to delaying doing that mitzvah? So the Rambam, in the fourth of the Mamakamos, tries to explain to us what the head there for this is all about. What's the rationale behind pushing off doing a mitzvah? So the round begins in the fourth of the Ramah Kamos, correct, as Vavalach Habez of Azishus. Ha'ish b'tzuva al-pir of Arivya v'aloha isha. So a man is obligated to mitzvah for Ravu, not a woman. At what age does a man become obligated in this mitzvah? At the age of 17. So we're used to thinking 18. So the Ramah thought that the sometimes when you see years in Chazal, they're not sure what that means, the beginning of the year, the end of the year. So the Rambam understood that when it says Ben Shemarash Yal Chopa, that means the beginning of your 18th year, so which will mean the 17th birthday. So when you celebrate your 17th birthday, so that when you celebrate your 18th birthday, I'm sorry, so that's the beginning of your 18th year. So comes the Rambam and says, the Kevich Avru Esrim Shana, the person Dili Dali for 3 years, 2 years, whatever it is, Velo Nasa Isha. So the Rambam has an interesting formulation. because the Rambam is troubled by, in one place, Chazal speak about getting married at 18, 17, 18, whatever that means. And another place, Chazal speak about by 20. So what's the difference between 18 and 20? So the Rambam explains that you become chayiv in the mitzvah at the age of 18, but it's not called the bittul mitzvah until the age of 20. It's like mashal madavadamia. It comes the first day of Sukkot, so I have to shake a lulav. So I'm a chayiv to shake the lulav first thing in the morning. If I dray around and I don't shake the lulav, so I'm not called the mevatlas mitzvah. If it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I eventually get to it, so I'm yotzei the mitzvah. But if the whole day passes and I don't do it, then I come back next year and I do it, so I was mevatel that mitzvah. So you have a lot of mitzvahs like that. Say, Lamasha, I have a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema. So I have to say Kriya Shema sometime in the 3 hours of the day. So if I say it early in the morning, Matzoit, if I drezach and drezach and drezach and drezach, and now 3 hours pass, Sefer of Kunecha, then I'm called a Mevatlas a mitzvah. So the Rambam says that when you're 15, you're not a Mechuv in the mitzvah yet. You turn the age of 17, 18, whatever that means, then you become a Mechuv in the mitzvah, but you're not called Mevatla mitzvah until the age of 20. But now the Rambam talks about what if you're busy learning, be my Osik Batorah. The person who's involved in studying Torah, the Tarba, and he's Tarun, like in a good way. He's very, 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 very involved in the Libra Torah. But I'm Yar and Elisa Isha, and he's afraid to get married. Kadesh lo Yitrach b'mezonos, the Avatam in a Torah. He's afraid he's going to have to go to work. He's going to have to support his wife. He's a mutl hisa acher. A person is permitted to delay. Notice the Lashon Ram. The Ram does not say you're allowed to continue this forever. The Ram just says you're allowed to delay getting married and having children. Why is that? She'osek b'mitzvah potter b'mitzvah to koshke b'tamu Torah. So says the Rambam, because there's a principle called osek b'mitzvah potter b'mitzvah. It derives from Sukkim. If I'm in the middle of doing a mitzvah and another mitzvah comes my way, I don't have to stop. Let's say, l'moshel, I'm in the middle of saying Kriya Shema and a person comes by and he asks for tzedakah, I don't have to give the tzedakah. It's a shaila, whatever. If it's easy to do it, should I do it? Should I not do it? That's a different story. But I'm not mechuyev to give the tzedakah because I'm doing mitzvah A. I'm doing mitzvah A. I'm not mechuyev to stop and do mitzvah B. So the Rambam says, I'm sitting and learning. So when I turned my mitzvah, I wasn't yet chayev to get married. So I started learning when I was 13, I'm 14, I'm 15, I'm 16. So come to 18, I'm chayev to go get married. So says the Rambam, but you learn Torah? So isn't the mitzvah part of the mitzvah? And if that rule is true, Isaac mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, if it's true for a regular mitzvah, how much more so for Talmud Torah, Kedegah Kulam, so if you're involved in the study of Torah, you're part of the mitzvah of getting married. That's what the Rambam says. So this Rambam is very, very difficult on many, many different levels. If the Rambam really meant it, that the cloud, Isaac mitzvah, part of a mitzvah applies to this case, so what does the Rambam say, mutal al hisacher, you're allowed to delay? It's not going to get any easier later. So let us say, he's never going to get married. His entire life, he's going to sit and learn. So he's going to sit and learn, learn, learn. If it's true that, if it's really true, Oskar Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah, so why is he less of an Oskar Mitzvah at the age of 45 than he was at the age of 20? So he should be Potter, Leol and Vod. And it's clear from the Rambam that's not the case. Because the Rambam didn't say, Harei Zemutta Shalom Lisa Isha. Harei Zemutta Sacher. Sacher means to delay. Number two, probably even a more serious question according to the Rambam, since when does this Klal of Oskar Mitzvah, Potter Mitzvah apply to Talmud Torah? It's b'chol not true. Let's say a person is in the middle of learning and it comes time, it's at Pesach night. I started learning in the afternoon, I'm learning, when it comes time to eat matzah. No, I'm not going to eat matzah now. I'm in the middle of reading a Torah, so I'm not going to eat matzah today. It's Rosh Hashanah morning. I start learning Torah, I'm learning, it comes time to eat shofar. No, I'm not going to go shofar because I'm busy learning. There is no such cloud called Oisik b'tam Torah potter b'na mitzvah. Why not? Why is tam Torah less of a mitzvah? So the Mefarshim explained, not that Talmud Torah is less of a mitzvah, it's just that if you're going to apply the rule of Isaac with mitzvah, Potter with mitzvah to Talmud Torah, then you're going to end up in a bizarre situation. You're going to end up, a person's going to blow my vein of Isaac. Gadol Talmud Shavevah de Maisa. Fakir, part of the whole mitzvah of Talmud Torah is a Shvatam Masoisam. L'maritasam Shvatam Masoisam. So if you're going to set up a system that everyone's going to be sitting and reading Taisim all day, and no one's going to be putting on tefillin, no one's going to be shaking lulav, no one's going to be hearing shofar, so it's going to be a very intellectual religion. But what happened to all my mitzvahs? So obviously that's absurd. Obviously, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs, even though he expects of us to be learning whenever we can, obviously the rules of Isaac mitzvah break down when it comes to Talmud Torah. So what's the Rambam talking about? When the Rambam says that Isaac mitzvah, but the mitzvah, but kosher and Talmud Torah, it's partially not true. There is no such kosher game of Talmud Torah, because Isaac mitzvah does not apply to Talmud Torah. And number two, if the Rambam for some reason believes that it does, then it should apply forever. So what's the Rambam's lashon acher? So the Pashtet Varm, what the Rambam is referring to is the following, that even though it's true that Isaac B'mitzvah in the real sense does not apply to Talmud Torah, there is the following rule that is true. Let's say I'm in the middle of learning. I'm sitting and learning a sugya. I'm reading a Rambam and a Raivin and a Chayim and a Chaschiuch and a Taizam. I'm reading a Torah and a sugya. And some mitzvah comes my way. Somebody comes into the Beis Medrash and says, we need somebody to go around collecting money for some big tzedakah fund. So what am I supposed to do at that point? I'm in the middle of learning. Now they ask me to stop, close my sfarim, and go collect tzedakah. So am I supposed to stop now? So the Gemara says, it depends on the following. Is that mitzvah efshar l'kayim idea chayim or not? Can somebody else collect the tzedakah? Not everybody's sitting and learning. So if the job can be done easily by somebody else who's not involved in learning right now, so efshar l'kayim shnayim, so I'll continue learning, and he'll collect the tzedakah, show my soul. The aniyim will get there, get food. I'll continue my tzedakah. And everyone's happy. That's wonderful. What is an efshar idea chayim? There's nobody else to do it. Or there may be somebody to do it, but he's not as good as I'm the best fundraiser around. So then the din is, I'm going to close my Gemara, go take care of the mitzvah, then I'm done. Come back to my Gemara again. So the klal of Talmud Torah is that not I see the mitzvah, part of the mitzvah. It's not like if I'm saying Shema and somebody asks me for tzedakah, I don't stop. I'm learning a Tosfos, so somebody asks me for tzedakah, I do stop. Because whenever you have a mitzvah that's Eif Shai De'achayrim, so I'm going to stop and go take care of it. So now the question becomes a tricky one. Here, I'm sitting and learning. I'm involved in learning for years and years and years. And now it comes time for me to get married. So which rule should we plug in? So the regular rule of Isaac Mitzvah, other mitzvah is not applicable to Talmud Torah. But the second rule is, namely, is this a mitzvah she'efshar ayadei chayrim or not? Now, obviously, it's not efshar ayadei chayrim. No one else is going to have children for me. But come to poskim and say that when you have a mitzvah that's efshar is acher, I'll get to the mitzvah eventually. It's just not going to get lost. Let's tell the marshal, there's some great need that has to take place. It doesn't have to be taken place today. I'm the only guy in town who's a great fundraiser, but no one's plotting the money. The mikveh needs money. We have to raise money in the next 6 months. So I can finish my tashmish, finish learning today, night later, and then tomorrow I'll go raise money for the mikveh. So the din of efshar de'achayrim is lav dafka efshar de'achayrim. When it's efshar de'achayrim, it's efshar is acher. That's also like an efshar de'achayrim. The void of efshar de'achayrim means it's efshar l'kayim shneihem. So that's what the poskim explained. That's what the rabbi's driving at. That a guy sitting and learning now and getting married and having children comes his way. And right now, you can continue to learn because the mitzvah of getting married is not so pressing. It can wait. It's not literally efshar de'achayrim, but it can wait. Until what point can it wait? Well, the guy's going to get married at 65. He's not looking for a shidduch at 65. It probably could be too late. So he has to make a cheshbon. So that's what the Rambam says. Ha-reize mutol es acher. You're allowed a delay. What's the end game according to the Rambam? Pasha Pshat is the end game is at the point where it's no longer realistic for them to be able to get married and have children. Now, what that means, that's going to depend on case by case, society by society. If he can learn for a couple of years and he'll be just as eligible, be able to find a shidduch in a few years, so great, let him learn now and worry about getting married later. So that seems to be the presentation of the Rambam. Again, this is all talking about the person who's really learning. If a guy's not learning and he's just, you know, using this as a cover for not getting married, that's not our discussion right now. We're talking about a fellow who's learning and he's torud ba, he's really, really learning. He's learning so much that if he really stops to get married, tries to get married, it's going to really interfere with his learning best mother. So then the Rambam says, "Reis mutol es acher." Then the person is permitted to delay. And the longest of the delay is, it's not the real din of Isaac B'mitzvah. It's the quasi din of Isaac B'mitzvah that applies to Talmud Torah.
Just getting back to the point of being mavata mitzvah, I say if you get married, if you have children after 20, it's a little different than, let's say, not shaking the lulav on Sukkot.
Right. Because so different mitzvahs have different zmanim in terms of what point we say that there's a bittul. So when you have mitzvahs which are time-bound mitzvahs, then there's a certain unit of time. So I have the whole day to do it. It's like for Moshe, there's a Dvar Avram that discusses. Let's say I have two brises in front of me. I'm a male of two brises. One is an 8-day baby and one is a baby that was sick and now it's a 25-day-old baby. So if you'd ask me which bris comes first, most people would say the Mila Bismana comes first. The Avram says, oh, the other way around. He says, the Mila Shalom Bismana, once the baby's fit to have a bris, every second counts. And every second that you don't do the bris, that's like a shekel bittel ha-mitzvah. Mashenke in the Mila Bismana, so the Torah gives you the unit, gives you the window of an entire day. So here the Rambam's telling you that Chazal somehow had this tradition that there's a window here. The window is the first 2 years. After 2 years have passed and you're still in dilly-dallying, so that's called a bitla mitzvah. Right? It's not the same as the guy who missed the mitzvah.
If I have children after those two.
Right. No, but if
it doesn't count.
Of course, if I do the bris, if I do the bris 3 days later, it also counts as a bris. But in that interim time, I was called a mevatlas
of mitzvah. No, but if I shake my lulav on the second, if I don't take it on the first day, yeah.
You're right. So again, the moshe wasn't a perfect moshe. You're right. Lulav is different because it has the bookends in the beginning and the end, whereas you have these open ended mitzvahs. So the rabbim says that there's a certain degree of bitla mitzvah that's tough. So at least we have a formulation of what's going on in a sugya. We understand that the basic premise of the sugya, the way the rabbim presents it, is that when you have a clash between, should I get married, should I learn Torah? I can't do both. Right now I can't do both. So the answer is, you have the klal of lo be Torah, mitzvah, habol yado, efsha les achrebo. You're permitted, you're supposed to delay doing that mitzvah so that you can continue to learn Torah. The only thing is that sometimes you're efsha l'kayim shneihem, that's the Rashi and Tosfos, machlokes be'brachos bnei Eretz Yisrael. So the details of Rashi and Tosfos were just sociological details, and they can change from time to time, from place to place. The yesod in halacha remains the same. That Libra Torah comes first, because like any other mitzvah, Libra Torah is first. If it's Efshar, Ayadechem, or Efshar is Achim. So the Rosh, in the fifth of the Ramakamos, is also sensitive to this idea that the Gemara seems to give you almost a green light forever. The Gemara never really puts an end game on when he's supposed to stop this learning to get married. So the Rosh writes in the fifth of the Ramakamos, V'kulu modu, everybody agrees, both Rashi and Tosfos, everyone in the Gemara agrees that Libra Torah comes first. The Kitzva la'osa limud lo yadana, says the Rosh, I don't know where the end game is. I don't know what the limit is. Shelo yitochein she's batam apir v'rivik kol yomav. So the Rosh says, it doesn't make any sense to say that he should not have children at all. That was basically our diuk in the Rambam. Shelo yisacher. The Rosh says it's impossible to say such a thing. Why is it impossible? So the Rosh says, there's Gemara Yevamos that says that Ben Azai was in a unique situation, was a unique position. The Gemara says that Ben Azai never fulfilled the mitzvah of having children. There's a machloikis, it's not clear whether Ben Azai didn't get married, then he got married, maybe couldn't remain married, whatever it was, it's already a technical detail. But the Gemara says Ben Azai was a different board. Ben Azai was nafshu chashkin Torah. There was some post can say, almost like for him, he just couldn't, he literally couldn't bring himself to get married. He was so tarud in his limud. So the Rosh says, that's not the model. The Rosh says, we don't pass like that. That's for the Yechidei Sgula, for the Ben Azai, but it's not for the regular people. And therefore, the Rosh says that there's got to be some end game. At some point, we say, Atkan, getting leave the base medrash, and we'll get married. But the Rosh says, I don't know when it is. It doesn't say beferish when it is. Some later post can claim that maybe their end game is the age of 24. Where did that magic level come from? So the Gemara says in some of these latest sugyas in Kiddushin, the Gemara talks about how a father has a little bit of shlita over his children, even past the age of bar mitzvah. Not to, as they get older and older, you get less and less control. So the Gemara says that you should try to influence, try to have impact on your children while they're still tachas yadcha. So until what point do they still consider tachas yadcha? So the Gemara quotes two different possibilities, either till 22 or till 24. So some poskim say that the Gemara means that that's already the end. 24 is already, that's already the last of the Mohicans. That's the last man possibly in this discussion. That's what some suggest. The post can point out that even if a person takes that extended view to the age of 24, so now they reach the age of 24, now they have to start to perform the mitzvah. Not everybody is a lucky right away that they meet the right person on the first date. So they start at the age of 24. Now they have to try. So now they're trying. Now they're 25. Now they're 26. Now they're 27. But until we hopefully there's a case for kids. But to the end of the story,
the biggest indication that starting from the Rambam, which we have records to, when did they get married?
They probably followed with the days of Rishon. They followed what it said in the Gemara. Probably the Gemara says the age of 18. So they would start to look around for shul at the age of 18. The Shulchan Aruch quotes that also. So we know that the minhag has become a little bit later. We, most of the Yeshiva Brachim today, rely on this idea that they're sitting and learning Torah, assuming those facts are right. If they're sitting and learning seriously and stopping getting married is going to really interfere, so then Enoch Enami, so then they have a right. Mutulol l'sacher, Enoch Enami. So this idea that we're developing, that the relationship between Talmud Torah and marriage is really working with the regular rules, which we're trying to plug in some kind of a halachic structure here of Isaac for mitzvah, but it could be that maybe something else is playing out here. It could be that there's another factor in this mix here as to what gives us the right to delay getting married, different from the regular rules that govern other halachas. And that's based on a comment of the Chalkos Mechokek in the sixth of Mamakomos. Chalkos Mechokek is one of the Noise Kalim and Evan Ezer. On the side of Evan Ezer, you have the Chalkos Mechokek in the Bishmuel. Like in Rechaim, you have the Morgan Avram and the Taz, or your day of Taz and Shaf. So you have an Evan Ezer, the Chalkos Mechokek and the Bishmuel. So the Chalkos Mechokek, it's Ibn Aleph, comments on the Din Shulchan Aruch, Shisa Isha Ben Yudches, the first statement of Chazal, Meshmer Asir L'chuppah. So the Chazal Mechokek raised the question, Afal Gav B'chola Mitzvahs Chayav L'kam Yad, Kishnasa Ben Yud Gimel. The man said, why are we letting you get married so old? Why are we waiting all the way till 18? He said, it's one of the Tari Mitzvahs. If you hold like the Rambam, the Mitzvahs, getting married and having children, according to Rosh, it's having children, everyone agrees, kids by Mitzvah, he's putting on throne, so he's getting over here. He's leading the benching. He says, Chayim Mitzvah, letting him marry at the age of his bar mitzvah. Why do we find, even in Chazal, that some of this is 5-year window, somehow before the mitzvah kicks in? What happens? Because mitzvahs of kibbutz Chazal, sheben yurches l'chuppah. So, says Chazal, a tradition. It sounds like this idea of ben yurches l'chuppah wasn't just not made up, but the Tanan had a tradition. I'm sorry, Ish, that there's such a cloud, that you have 5 years to wait. What is this based on? Says the 5 years are predicated on the assumption that we have to let the person learn a little bit first. If you really follow this Mishnah properly, the line before Mishnah said, Chopa said, Ben Tesvav the Talmud. The guy wasn't learning Gemara until he was 15. Assuming he was learning Chumash at 5 and Mishnah is at 10, he got everything down pat by the time he was 15. So says the Chachat B'chakeg that the very reason why you have a right to delay getting married in the beginning, before the 18, before 20, before the Bittul Mitzvah kicks in, what gave you a right to delay from bar mitzvah is the fact that's built into the system that you have to have a little bit of learning before you get married. What is that based on? What does that mean? What's the chiddush over here? Why should it be that this works for different hagdaros? So here, something the Mefarshim explained is based on the following idea, that the mitzvah of getting married, the mitzvah of having children, what's the nature of this mitzvah? What is this all about? Is this just a mitzvah literally having biological, physical children? That's the whole mitzvah? That's it? Just to literally have a boy and a girl, you help populate the world, now there's another two people in the world, that's the entire mitzvah. So many of the Mefarshim claim that may have been the mitzvah Kodem Matan Torah. Kodem Matan Torah, so the Gemara seems to say, that the mitzvah Peruvu applied even to the Umas HaOlam. It was given to other Rishon, it was given again to Noach. So even the Goyim were obligated in the mitzvah Peruvu before Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, so the mitzvah was taken away from the Goyim, it was only given to Klal Yisrael. So the Goyim today don't have a mitzvah of Peruvu. What happened exactly? What kind of strange change is that? So the first should explain that Kodem Matan Torah, the nature, the thrust of the mitzvah was simply to populate the world. Doesn't matter who the world's populated with. Baruch Hu wanted human beings to inhabit the world. It doesn't matter. Jewish, non-Jewish, people should live in this world. Baruch Hu didn't create a desolate planet. There are a lot of other planets that no people live in. This is the world because Baruch Hu wanted L'Shem Sitzara. But after Matan Torah, so the nature of the mitzvah changed. By the time Matan Torah, there were plenty of people in the world. We don't need every person to have a child. There'll be plenty of people in the world whether you choose to have children or not. The nature of the mitzvah changed radically. Now the mitzvah is to bring Abdi Hashem into this world, to bring Tar mitzvahs into the world, to bring B'nai Yisrael into this world, to be able to do more mitzvahs. That's the whole point of the mitzvah. That's why the mitzvah now it's a Jewish mitzvah. Now it's a mitzvah given to the Klal Yisrael. The mitzvah was taken away from the Messiah because the nature of the mitzvah changed radically. If that's the case, that the mitzvah is to bring Shomri Tar mitzvahs into the world, it's part of a whole package. It's part of the sugyas that we're learning now of Chiyuv HaMitzvah Bein Olav. You're supposed to bring children into the world, give them bris milas, give them pidyon bens, teach them Torah, teach them how to do mitzvahs, be mechanech them properly. That's the whole mitzvah. So imagine what would the world look like if all the 13-year-olds are getting married. So you'd have a 13-year-old kid who doesn't know, he hasn't yet opened up a gemara, he doesn't can be able to read Mishnayos, he can be kosher read his parsha. So he's going to be the father, he's going to be the lamdo Torah, he's going to teach the next generations. So in order for the mitzvah of Puravut to fulfill properly, in order to be able to create spiritual generations to come, of course there has to be some learning beforehand. That's the theme we've been talking about for the last month. That if you don't have people who are grounded to some degree in Lumina Torah, so the whole system's going to be undermined. The entire mitzvah is not going to be performed properly. So that's what the Chavos Mechokek is driving at. That the very fact that Chazal had this tradition that you don't get married at 13, that's going to be counterproductive to get married at 13. Better to learn for a few years and then get married. So that's why the Gemara says, and guess what? And even though you're 18, even though you're 20, but you don't really feel you're ready yet. You need a few more years. Okay, there's Acher. We're not giving you till 95. There's Acher a little bit. So you have a right to delay a little bit. But the reason why we're letting you delay is because that gufa is going to enhance the mitzvah peripheral later on. That's going to create, you're going to be a better husband, a better father later on. You'll be a better mechanic of your own children later on if you have more back of your own Torah. So you have really two different approaches to this phenomenon halacha. Everybody agrees that the strange thing, that I have a mitzvah deraisa of getting married. Nope, don't do it now. Go sit and learn Torah first. Whether you've been bubble banner, so I'll figure out the details. But everyone agrees that Tachlis, we're letting you and we're encouraging you to delay the mitzvah of getting married in order to learn Torah first. Why? So according to the Rambam, it's based on the regular rules of Isaac B'mitzvah, by Tama Torah, Lis Acher, etc. But according to the second twist, we're saying, no, there's something unique that's playing out here. The reason why you're delaying is not because you're delaying the mitzvah. Fakir, your learning is enhancing the mitzvah, which will be fulfilled in a better state a little bit later down.
Does that mean that Gayim don't have an avera of abortion if they're not Mechayev Peruvu?
No, it's a different thing. So the avera of abortion is a different avera. That's not just because of Bittul Peruvu. Because for Goyim, it's considered to be a nefesh. The Gemara says explicitly that's called a retzeah. For us, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, good. Take care. Be well. Yeah.